Governor Bruce Rauner, who I believe is going to take another swing at this and run for re-election, joins us in the studio for a special Tuesday John and Ray Town Hall for a few minutes. Governor, good morning. Thank you.
John, Ray, good morning. I love your little digs here. This is quite a studio. It's not big, but you got great views. Corner office.
It is terrific.
We took quite a hit and pay to have this view, but it's worth it.
Speaking of a hit and pay, I've watched you since you announced for the gubernatorial run a number of years ago. You and your wife are very philanthropic. You've always been civic-minded. Now that you've been there for a couple of years and you realize what you're up against, why do you want to do this again?
I gotta say, it is hard. You know, it's I've been governor for 2 years, but it's really dog years. It's like 14 years. I mean, it's hard. And as I say every day, when I started this job, I was 6'8 and had a full head of hair. This is really hard. But you know what? I do it because I love Illinois. I'm a volunteer. I don't take compensation. I just want this to be a wonderful place for all of our kids and our grandkids with a great future.
But what can you, in the 2 years that you've had to do with Madigan and Cullerton and the Democrats, and there's only been a couple of Democrats that have even offered oblique support to you and your turnaround agenda, what's going to change? Just kind of continuing to do interviews and try to bring the public. We have an exceedingly short attention span here in America, in this state. I guess you just have to hit the same rock.
Well, just talk to the people of Illinois. That's why I'm here in your studio today, visiting with you guys, and that's why I'm traveling the state today. I'm in the six cities today, and I'll be in another six cities tomorrow, talking with the people of Illinois. And I love it. The people are awesome. That's why I love this work. I love this turning our state around, because the people of Illinois are wonderful, and it's a privilege for me to work for them. The tragedy is our system's broken. We've been losing jobs. We've been having taxes go through the roof. We've been having unbalanced budgets for 30 years. We've had some of the worst funded schools in America and massive cronyism, corruption, and patronage under the majority Democrats in the General Assembly. We have got to change. And these politicians just want to tape over the problems. They just want to raise taxes and kick the cans on pensions and not have balanced budgets. This has been going on for decades, and we've got to change. Stop taping over the problems. Get real structural improvements to grow jobs, bring down property taxes, and properly fund our schools. That's what we're working for.
As long as you brought up pensions, I asked for our listeners to email me in some questions. And one here, he didn't give his name, but I'll just read the question here. The state pension obligation is the anchor drowning this state financially. The state Supreme Court has decided pensions cannot be changed. There are thousands and thousands of government retirees of pensions of $75,000, $100,000, $150,000 and higher. Their pensions are higher than the salaries. On and on, I'll just kind of cut and edit here. There's no reason they should not be paying tax on the pensions. Set a minimum of $50,000 and require tax to be paid on anything over that. Well, obviously, that's more of a statement than a question, but even using your executive pen gubernatorially, what kind of power do you have regarding the changing of our pension obligation?
Well, trying to get significant pension reform is very important. That's one of the priorities we have. It is an unsustainable pension system for the long term. The good news is we believe that we can change the system in a fair way that protects existing pension benefits that have been accrued so far, but still make constitutionally acceptable changes that could save billions in the long term for future work. Don't change anything from the past. Don't take away anybody's benefits they've accrued so far, but give state employees more options for the future that are more affordable, more flexible. Defined contribution options, different structure that even the Senate Democrats and I agree that we could create different tiers, tier two, tier three, tier four, give the employees options that could save billions over time, and that we could put that money then into our human services and into our schools and while protecting the existing pensions and the benefits that have earned. There's a way to get this done.
Swamp.
Governor Bruce Rauner joining John and Ray here at WLS. Question from Brad. Are you willing to freeze state spending like you're trying to do to local governments via the property tax freeze? Or is the property tax, is that just something that your constituents, your voters want to hear?
No. So capping spending at the state government level is a core recommendation of ours. We have to stop taping over the problems. We need real structural change and true spending caps with hard limits on state government spending is a core part of the changes that we're recommending. And as you point out, or your listener did, we're also recommending at the local level, in city government, county government, et cetera, that we have a property tax freeze. Freeze is a short phrase. What that means is local residents get to approve when their property taxes go up through a voter referendum. It doesn't mean they never can go up or never will go up. It means that the local residents need to approve them going up, right, or otherwise they can't. That gives power back to the people of Illinois. If we give power to the people and take it away from the politicians, Illinois will have a great future. Property tax freeze does it. Term limits does it. Everything we're working for puts power back in the hands of the people again.
But your power's diminished because of previous governors and previous deals cut, the Chicago Public Schools being the most obvious example there, when the deal was cut to cut them out of the way that the formula is done statewide. I don't know how you recoup that ground because it's already been given away, and now it's locked down here in Cook County in the city.
Well, that's right. The fact is that Chicago Public Schools has been paying its own pensions for 100 years. I mean, this is not some new thing or something that I made up. This has been 100 years of the structure. They've never complained before now. Now that I'm in office, they complain and say we got to change the system. I've said I will change it. I'm happy to change it. But let's keep in mind that the people of Illinois have been sending Chicago a $250 million block grant that no other school district in the state gets because CPS pays its own pension. It's to pay for it, to make up for it. Now, if we're going to have the people of Illinois pick up the pensions on behalf of Chicago, that's okay, but we got to stop the block grant. Otherwise, it's a bailout.
Also, we want to say politically in how these schools are run. If we're going to fund it, I want to say in how they're run.
Well, that's a whole nother subject itself. The reality is the state of Illinois pays local pensions for teachers and for many other types of pensions. Unlike other states, the local residents who determine the pension benefits also pay them. Illinois has a conflict there. That's why many folks have advocated for changing that system. We've got to take it a step at a time. The first thing to start is to do a constitutional pension reform that gives employees more options that are affordable in the future. We can save billions if we do that.
How do you keep people from leaving the state? And I know that's a big issue. I know people are leaving Cook County, they're leaving the city, but they're leaving the state. When a house that might cost somebody $10,000 to live in a year tax-wise costs somebody $2,800 a year to live in tax-wise just over the state line, how can you stop right. How can you stop that kind of bleeding?
Well, we've been losing people out of Illinois for decades. We have been one of the states that always leads the nation in out-migration. This is the reason I ran for governor. My partners in my business said, Bruce, let's move to Dallas. Illinois is going down the drain. You can see it. These corrupt politicians run into the government for their own benefit. And my partner said, let's get out of here. Let's move the business. And I said, heck no. I was born here, raised 6 kids here. This is home. I'd rather fight to fix it. That's the reason I ran for governor. Simple fact, I want this to be a great place for our kids and our grandkids. The tragedy, our property taxes are the highest in America. Many families can't afford to pay these property taxes anymore. It's pushing them out of the state. It's also pushing a lot of our small businesses, our employers, out of state. We've got to change the system. And these duct tape solutions that these politicians want to tape over the problems, more tax hikes, more deficit spending, kick the can on pensions, the things we've been doing for 30 years aren't working.
I just wonder if people here in Chicago, Illinois, and even in America are willing to fess up to this, that we've sold ourselves down the river, and expecting a 5-7-8% return. And when that stopped, everybody went right in the tank. Let's take a break and come back and talk about something I think would really make a difference, and that's redistricting. And if we can renew that effort again, we're here with Governor Bruce Rauner. Also, time permitting, want to get to your relationship with the new administration in D.C., and we appreciate your efforts with the mansion. All that coming up with Governor Bruce Rauner next with John and Ray here at WLS. We're here with Governor Bruce Rauner with John and Ray. Welcome John Dempsey, our news director, if he wants to pop into the studio in our remaining moments here with the governor.
Is the governor wearing headphones?
Yes, Frank? He is.
He is.
Can hear you.
Okay. So you may stay there, John, if you'd like.
Can I ask a question now?
Just hold the line because I want to start this segment if I can. We were discussing during the break there about redistricting, and the governor brought up a point if you'd elaborate. Redistricting is a moot point if you don't have term limits. Please explain.
Well, both are important to reform the system. The reality is we have a gerrymandered districts drawn on a partisan basis to lock in incumbents. And there's no competition. In two-thirds of the races for the General Assembly this last cycle, there was no opponent because an opponent looked and said, that district is so rigged, I don't have a chance to win. We're not having a competition. We're not giving our voters choices. But term limits are also critical because many neighborhoods or many communities are so dominated by people from one party or another that you can still get a politician locked in office even if the districts aren't gerrymandered. You need term limits to get people out so that they're not entrenched, supported by special interest groups that give them a lot of money. They accumulate a lot of wealth and power, and the power of incumbency is too strong. That's why President Obama said when he was in touring Africa, he said to some of the dictators over there, I could be president for the rest of my life. Hmm. But in Illinois, in America, we have term limits on presidents because we don't want the corruption that you're suffering from here in Africa.
And if I'm not mistaken, 80% of Democrats when polled also want term limits. The thing is, all Americans on any level say, I want all the bums thrown out except my bum. I like my bum.
The reality is the people in Illinois and across America believe very strongly in having term limits. I personally do, too. It's the right thing. It's the quickest way we could change the culture and get fresh ideas, people who are there for the right reasons. Term limits and fair maps so we can have competitive general elections. That would change the culture in government and, I believe, give a much better future for the people of Illinois.
Can the culture of government change or can it continue now? Spending limits are off on how much you guys can throw into your campaign, and now you've got some big-time guys with a lot of money in there, and you have a pretty good cachet yourself. Will anybody ever make it into the governor's office without spending $1 million on an election, or $100 million?
You know, money is helpful. It's obviously relevant, but it's not what determines elections. You can look around the nation, and even in Illinois before me, folks who spent a ton lose.
Yeah.
And frankly, I was outspent by Quinn. You know what? We were outspent. Now, I put a lot of my own money in, but we were outspent by the other side. Money is relevant. It's not the deciding factor.
And you know what? TV commercials are, by and large, ignored by most of the populace.
That is very true.
Now, radio commercials on big huge AM stations, those are noticed. I just want to point that out. In our remaining moments with Governor Bruce Rauner, John Dempsey.
Governor Rauner, SIU, Public Policy School, recently had a poll. You've got a 36% public approval rating, a 58% disapproval. You've been very good about talking about all the problems we have in our state. But tell us, what have you fixed?
Oh, we've transformed government. And by the way, polls go up and down and move all over the place. I spend no time thinking about polls. When I travel the state of Illinois, people come up by the hundreds and say, stay strong, you're on the right track, don't back down.
What have you fixed?
So we've transformed government. Everything that we can change ourselves as an administration, we are transforming government. We've cut over $500 million out of wasteful spending in the government. We've cut $220 million out of Medicaid fraud in the government. We've modernized our computer systems and driving up costs and driving up productivity and down costs. We've put more than $750 million of new funding into our state public education system, K-12, record funding for our schools. We've transformed government, and criminal justice reform, we've transformed that. On things that we can control, we've made major changes. On things that we need the legislature, term limits, fair max, pension reform, property tax freeze.
But Governor,
the General Assembly has blocked us.
You're running for re-election, and you're saying the General Assembly has blocked us, things are unfair, the system is rigged. It's one excuse after another. Would you hire somebody who came in and just offered one excuse after another why he didn't get the job
done? Oh, that's interesting. I've never heard Madigan's majority called an excuse. The reality is they have rigged the system. It's broken. It's the reason we lead the nation in property taxes. It's the reason we lead the nation in out-migration. They're the reason that we have so much cronyism and corruption. The system's broken. It's rigged by career politicians. And I'm the one person as a volunteer. I'm not taking any compensation. I'm doing this because I love Illinois. I'm fighting against that corrupt machine, and we're going to win because it's the right thing for the people of Illinois.
How do you like living at the state fairgrounds?
Well, it's very romantic. You know, our bedroom windows overlook the goat pens. I mean, my wife really, she's so excited about it.
It'll be nicer in July when we're really fired up.
No, it's going to do a fundraiser during the state fair. I'm going to charge people $5 to look in our windows.
Nice.
So, you know.
You know, that the governor's mansion, and I'd been there, it needed some serious help, you know. I was ready to call Feltco and have them go down there and put some vinyl siding on it. But, you know, that's nice that it's such a beautiful a beautiful home on such a nice piece of land in the middle of Springfield. It needed some work. Yeah. Thank you.
Governor, enjoy your travels around the state today and tomorrow, and thanks. You're welcome back here.
Thanks, John. Thanks, Ray. Have a terrific day.